Happy New Year. Very good to see so many people here on the morning of the New Year. So many people come for the Mass on New Year's Eve that I expected maybe fewer to come on New Year's Day. But anyway, it's good to be here. And today is a holy day of obligation, so it's good that people make the effort to get up in the morning on New Year's Day. Well, since it's New Year's Day, our attention is, yes, on the passage of time from 2024 to 2025. But the liturgy of the Church doesn't pay much attention at all to New Year's Day. Instead, the Church marks January 1st as a Christmas day because it's the eighth day of Christmas, and also as a major Marian feast day, the Solemnity of Mary, Mother of God. Well, this gives us an opportunity to reflect on two very important things. One, the gift of time, and two, the gift of Mary. Time because it's New Year's Day, and Mary because it's the feast day of Mary, Mother of God. Today is also the World Day of Peace, but I won't be speaking about that today, although we will certainly pray for peace today, and we should be praying for peace as we start the new year. But let's focus for a moment on the gift of time, since that's what draws people together today for the most part. The new year begins, and when a new year begins, something that we really know all the time and experience all the time becomes more obvious to us, and that is that time is rapidly passing us by, or we're traveling very rapidly through time. Once a moment passes, it's gone, and there's no getting it back. 2024, it's gone. No getting it back. We have countless reminders of this, but if we ever stop to think about it, and today is a day when we think about past, present, and future, but I say with many reminders of this, and it's even clearer to this, it's even clearer to us when we are around little children. Recently, I met a little girl. She's the child of a couple whose marriage I blessed some years ago before the pandemic. And I met this little girl when she was a newborn, and then the family moved to the province, and I never saw them again. So anyway, this holiday, they came back, and now this little girl is not a little infant anymore. She's an energetic, talkative child, and she's asking countless questions, as little children do. So I said to the girl, "How old are you?" "I'm five years old." Then she said, "How old are you?" I said, "Oh, I'm 63. She said, "Oh, that's old." And she's right, of course. When I was 5 years old, my grandparents were very old, and I realized I'm older now than my grandparents were when I was five. So that's how time goes, right? The time just keeps erasing by, and we keep getting older, and there's nothing we can do about that. Sometimes time seems to go faster, sometimes slower, depending on what we're experiencing. If we're enjoying ourselves, time goes fast. If we're under pressure and a deadline is approaching, time goes fast. But when we're suffering, time can just drag on. But it never stands still, and it never goes backward. So all those movies about traveling back in time, no, that never happens. Now, the flow of time is not a bad thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing at all. It's part of reality, and reality is where we meet God, so that's something to accept. But for people without faith, for people who don't know that God is the Lord of time, this rapid passing of time, or this inevitability of the progress of time, can seem like a bad thing, and it can be a cause of anxiety and fear and sadness. People feel stressed out because they feel they have to make the most of time before they lose it forever. And so they rush around in a frenzy, trying to accomplish things, trying to go places, and trying to make sure they don't miss anything. This kind of anxiety gets multiplied by exposure to the social media, as you probably know, because social media shows us there's so many more things to know and so many more things to do and so many more places that we should see. And not only that, people who we know are doing all these great things and they're doing more than we are, and how can we keep up with them? You have probably heard of the FOMO phenomenon, F-O-M-O. It's on the internet. Fear of missing out. Fear of missing out. It's a real phenomenon. People have anxiety about missing something that everybody else is experiencing. But in fact, we all have exactly the same amount of time every day. Every day is 24 hours. And all of us have that much time every day until we die. That's when time runs out for us, or when we reach the end of our time in this world. Now, it's good to recognize that our time here is limited. It's a good thing. And it's good to be diligent about our use of time. That's why people make New Year's resolutions, so that we do better in 2025 than we did in 2024. So it's good to be better stewards of the gift of time, the gift we have received. But it's not good to live in fear and anxiety and under constant time pressure. This is where the gift of faith is an enormous advantage for us, because I'm talking about faith in Jesus Christ. Faith gives us a better foundation for our thinking about time, better than just racing through 24 hours a day or feeling enslaved to time. Better because when we have faith, we know that there's a purpose to time. There's a purpose in the plan of God, and it has a positive direction. And we can learn this purpose and this positive direction as we draw close to Jesus. Because in Jesus, the eternal God, who is outside of time, has entered into time. That's what we celebrate at Christmas time. At Christmas, we celebrate God entering time. The Word, the eternal Word, becoming flesh. And now, God is with us. He journeys with us at every moment. He's guiding us to a destination that is beyond this world. That's what we know by faith. So we don't have to go crazy trying to fill up our lives, or trying to fill up every moment, and trying to achieve or become a millionaire, or climb Mount Everest, or go to the ends of the world. No. We find our purpose in the will of God. He's the one who gives us time, and He's the one who shows us what it's for. What is time for? Love. Love of God, love of neighbor, the two great commandments. As long as we are doing the will of God, that is, as long as we are living in love of God and love of neighbor, we're not wasting our time. In fact, nothing that we do in the will of God is a waste of time, even if it looks like a waste to everybody else. For example, coming to Mass, a lot of people think is a waste of time. No, it isn't. A lot of people think prayer is a waste of time. No, it isn't. Silent adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, that's not a waste of time. That's a very good use of the gift of time. It's very freeing, by the way, to live according to the will of God rather than the will of our own will or anyone else's will. It's very freeing. So as we start the new year, we focus on God. We focus on love. We don't just focus on passing of time or on ourselves or on our goals. Now, that's just a reflection on time. I hope I didn't use up all the time talking about the first point. I haven't gotten to the second point yet, which is the gift of Mary. But one last thought about the gift of time. We have begun the Jubilee year, 2025. This is a celebration of the gift of time. It's a way to mark, but it's always good to mark anniversaries and jubilees with Thanksgiving and with renewed purpose. And the theme of this Jubilee year, which you will probably hear many times throughout this year, the theme is Pilgrims of Hope. We are pilgrims, we are journeyers, and we are journeying through time with hope. We live in hope because God is with us, and God is guiding us. God is for us. God is both with us, and He's also our destination in time. Okay, so that's a little bit about time. Now let's reflect on the second point, Gift of Mary, because today is one of the biggest feast days of Mary in the whole year. You might think that time and Mary, these two points I'm introducing, are not connected, but in fact they're very closely connected, because Mary is the one through whom God entered time. In her womb is where heaven and earth met, and time and eternity met. And when we pray the Hail Mary, we explicitly mention two moments in time. Pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Two very important moments. Now, which is the only time we have, is the present moment. Now, the moment, the very moment in which we're praying that, and the last moment, at the moment, the hour of our death. So that's when we ask for Mary's intercession. Today's second reading actually points out the connection of Mary and time. St. Paul says to the Galatians, when the fullness of time had come, the fullness of time, that moment that God had chosen, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Time, fullness of time, and a woman. The woman's Mary. Although Paul doesn't mention her by name, he's certainly reflecting on this woman that God has chosen. Well, let's reflect a little bit on this woman, on this her feast day, Solemnity of Mary, Mother of God. I know that for those people who look at the Catholic faith from outside, some of them find Mary to be one of the most attractive elements of their faith. They think she's so beautiful. And other people find her to be one of the biggest obstacles to Catholic faith, because she doesn't make any sense. Why do you need Mary if you have Jesus, the Savior of the world? So I love reading the stories or hearing the stories of people who enter the faith, enter the Catholic faith as adults, because they notice things that people who have been Catholic all their lives don't notice. And very often they come to the Catholic faith through some other Christian denomination or some Bible church or born-again church. And so they already know Jesus Christ. They know he's the Lord, Savior of the world. They already know the Bible, and they believe the Bible is inspired word of God. But Mary just is one of the biggest obstacles to deal with, and they can't figure out why we Catholics make such a big deal out of Mary. And so they're always asking this question, aren't the Catholics, aren't they exaggerating? Aren't they overemphasizing Mary? I mean, she's not that prominent in the Bible. Yes, she has a place at Christmas time because Jesus is born of Mary, but what about all these feast days and all these prayers and titles and devotions and statues? They really don't like statues. Many of you probably have Protestant relatives or friends or born-again friends. They really don't like statues of Mary. And it's a very difficult thing for converts to get past this wrong first impression that it's an overemphasis. Well, today's feast day, the reason I'm saying this, today's feast day is a good start, a very good beginning of the new year. It's a good start for understanding why we emphasize Mary so much. Because today's feast reminds us that God himself emphasizes Mary. God himself chose the Blessed Virgin Mary, and we can't outdo God in the honor that he has given Mary. No one will honor Mary more than God himself, who chose her to be his own mother, Mother of God. He entrusted the whole gift of salvation in Christ to Mary. Everything God gives us, his life, his love, his word, his grace, his miracles, his saving mission, everything comes to us through Mary. Today we honor her by her most important title, Mother of God, Theotokos in Greek, the God-bearer, Mother of God, which strikes people, and it might strike any of us, as a very strange thing to say about anybody, because God certainly can't have a mother. I mean, he is eternal. He's completely outside of time. He's not dependent on anyone. He's not dependent on anything in any way. He's completely independent. However, in the fullness of time, he chose this woman to be his mother, Mary of Nazareth. back in the 4th or early 5th century, some theologians began to argue that we should not call Mary Theotokos, Mother of God. We should call her Mother of Christ, Christ-bearer, because God has no mother, and it would be a heresy to say that he has a mother. Well, the church called a council to settle this question, the Council of Ephesus, the year 431. Since we're talking about time, we can get a little history lesson. 431, the Council of Ephesus confirmed that yes, we can and we should call Mary Theotokos. We should call her Mother of God, and that's why we have this feast day. The church's reasoning is very simple. It's based on the identity of Jesus Christ. If we believe that Jesus is God, and we do believe that, well then it follows that his mother is Mother of God. Simple logic. And if we deny Mary this title, well then we're in effect denying that Jesus is God. Or we're dividing him into two people, two persons, a human person and a divine person, and saying, well, she's only the mother of the human person. And that is a heresy. That is a heresy because he's not two people. He's one divine person, eternal Son of the Father, with two natures, divine nature and human nature. And Mary is the mother of this person, so she is Mother of God. And she's our spiritual mother, and she's the mother of this parish, mother of the church. So as we begin the new year, as we enter into 2025, let us give thanks to God for the gift of time. It's a great gift to have had 2024. It's a great gift to start a new year, a jubilee year, a year to live with God and to serve God and to love God and his people. And let us also entrust ourselves to our mother, Theotokos, Mother of God, Mother of the Church, our mother. We call on her every time we pray the Hail Mary. So let's conclude with these words, which you all know. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.